A warm up of the emo! Welcome to Lumpy Las Vegas for Ghost Ghost Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by a good friend of ours, Tristan Freeman, who does an incredible job over at Busting Brackets. We're going to be talking about a few different things with him. We're going to be chatting about what we're all seeing in terms of these exhibition results. We've had some guests on this podcast say that they are a big deal, some guests that say that they mean absolutely nothing whatsoever. I feel like in our past conversations, as I'm recording this intro before we have done the interview, so I actually don't know what the response is going to be, but I have a feeling that he's somewhere between A and B on these, so we're going to be chatting with him about that. We're going to be talking a little bit about the ACC, a conference of intrigue that I've been talking about quite a bit the last few days, as the more that I look at this conference, the more that I'm feeling relatively bullish about some of those teams in the middle of the conference. I know that ACC Media Days gained a lot of buzz, so we're going to be talking about that. If we have time, we're going to be talking about the fact that Tyon Grant Foster got his waiver denied and what that means for Gonzaga. Are they going to be fighting for him, trying to get him eligible? We're going to be talking about that aspect of things and so much more. And with Tristan, always have to ask him about some of the teams that he's feeling a little bit bullish slash bearish on as well. So we've got a great chat with Tristan coming up today. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Ghost Ghost Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, Larzium, the naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter / X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to have access to their funds whenever and wherever with EdgeBoost 100%. Of gambling transactions do get approved when you go to edgeboost.bet. Make sure you put in that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That's going to get you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. And with this podcast as well, I've already done a specialized conference preview podcast for every single conference, so we've got you guys all set for what is going to be an amazing college basketball season on that front. I do want to make sure that those are as evergreen as possible. Obviously, there are some teams that had like a guy or two leave the program, enter the program, what have you. That's just going to happen when you've got 31 conference previews to be doing. Obviously, with the SoCon conference preview that I did with the Wofford situation and the changing of the guard there, that was a little bit intriguing, but still, it's a good set of guides to be able to get you guys set for the upcoming college basketball season. And for those that are curious about the college basketball betting guide over at VSiN, that'll be out within the next few days as well. I took all the smaller conferences there, so you want to be checking that out, and you do want to be checking out all the great work of Tristan Freeman. He's doing an incredible job over at Bustin Brackets, but on top of that, Sleepers Media, I know that he's had his fingerprints on the Field of 68's newsletter from time to time as well, so he's a guy that does a lot of great work taking a look at this great game of college basketball, and you're able to follow him on the old Twitter / X at Oopsa351 all together. And Tristan, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Greg. Appreciate it as always.
I appreciate you, Tristan. And Tristan, before we dive in on some of the exhibition results and what we've actually been seeing on the court, because, man, we are all so thirsty for some college basketball action. We're a week and a half away. It cannot get here soon enough. But we did see over the weekend that Tyon Grant Foster of Gonzaga, he got his waiver denied. Obviously, a very strange situation because I believe that he's 25 years old. He's old enough to be able to sign up and be able to get the team's rental car, but he got denied that waiver after he had so many things that happened to him off the court. And just how do you take a look at this situation? And are the rumors true that the Gonzaga Bulldogs might still try to be able to get him eligible and try to work everything humanly possible to go through the process?
Yeah, that's going to be the case for Thursday. I mean, Grant Foster and his team's already filed for an injunction in Washington court to be able to effectively get another year. And obviously, you know, his case is intriguing because, you know, he's already played, you know, 7 years, including JUCO, and missed 2 years due to a heart situation. So the NCAA denied him because of the clock. But, you know, maybe his case is sympathetic enough to where a judge is ultimately going to be able to grant him being able to get an injunction for basically another year. And there seems to be optimism on that side. So we'll find out soon enough when it happens. And if it does, then Gonzaga gets themselves a former player of the year who should be able to be an impact contributor for them.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that that is going to be such an interesting ordeal. And along those lines as well, is there anyone else in terms of some of these players that are dealing with something similar, or is this pretty much a one-off case? Because obviously this is a very unique one, what we're seeing with Tyon Grant-Foster, but are there any other guys, and this includes international guys as well, that we should be watching to see if they become eligible or if they get their eligibility denied? Because I know that the international man of mystery for Kentucky, Andre Jelovic, he just recently got his eligibility approved as well.
It's hard to keep track, you know, with the season coming. If not, I believe UNC's Luka Bogovic has been halfway clear to be able to play, but still has to go through some things at North Carolina. So that's something to watch. I believe Illinois has one of their freshmen who's still going through the process.
They have like seven international guys on Illinois.
Yeah, and there's still some transfers looking to get an extra year of eligibility as well. You know, guys who normally their time would be done, but trying to get a red shirt for a missing year. So there's still a few guys, but Grant-Foster is definitely the biggest name to watch in the coming days.
Yep, we will certainly be watching for that. As Tristan Freeman, we always want to be watching his work. He does such a tremendous job over at Boston Brackets. Along with that, he's doing a nice job over at Sleepers Media and is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And we have been getting a lot of exhibition results and some of these anti-air quotes here, secret scrimmage results. And you can't see it because it's audio only, but I did use the air quotes there because the scrimmages, they never turn out to be a secret somehow, some way. The score gets leaked out, the box score, what have you. But what have you been making out these the last few weeks, and just additionally along those lines as well, where do you stand in terms of how much slash little meaning these exhibitions and these scrimmage results actually have?
I mean, it depends on how you feel about the team. If you feel negative towards them and they have a big, you know, great performance, maybe you're down on them, or maybe, you know, the way around where you think they might be overrated, but they end up struggling, then you can use that to whatever narrative you have. I think, you know, we're seeing some of the players who are expected to shine, like, you know, A.J. DeVansta and Cameron Boozer both go for 30-plus in their, you know, quote-unquote debut. So, and then we'll get a chance to see Darren Peterson going up against Louisville. But ultimately, you know, the results don't count. But all you can do is see what the rotations look like, which transfers, you know, look good out the gate, which ones are, you know, flying under the radar, and then just wait until November 3rd to win the games do count.
Yep, and I think that that's so well said by you, because I do make something out of Cameron Boozer having that big performance that we saw, I believe that was on Tuesday. A.J. DeBanza looked really good in his debut as well, and do you think that it might be true that when it comes to these exhibitions, these secret scrimmages, looking at the player rotations and looking at the individual, shall we say, box score and the individual stat lines is much more meaningful than the actual team final score?
Considering, you know, some coaches don't even play the regular rotations, because I know Kim English, when Providence played Pitt, you know, played some of their starters less than what he normally would, while, you know, Capel played his regular rotation, has some guys play over 35 minutes. It really is important to just look at the individual score. And not even as much as that, because again, some guys' minutes may have been restricted, some guys play more than expected. You know, as far as the team results, it really don't matter, especially considering that most of these are high scoring games with a ton of fouls being called. Is not being taken necessarily as seriously when it comes to how players are being defended. So yeah, I think you probably want to look more closer to which players are doing well. And again, you know, the ones who are expected, good. The ones who may be unexpected, you know, keep an eye on them when the season starts.
And I think that that's so well said by you, as we do have Tristan Freeman, who does an incredible job over at Boston Brackets. He's joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I'm so glad that you were bringing up the freshman a little bit before A.J. DeBanza along Cam Boozer. And Boozer, again, 33 points in that debut. He looked really good. I believe that that was against Central Florida. But that said, how much of a bigger impact this year do you think the freshman will have than the past few years? Because you mentioned it, there are a few players that are still trying to get another year of eligibility, but most of the guys that had that extra year due to COVID, most of that has run out, unless you're Chad Baker Mazzaro, it feels like he's got eligibility in just like several different places. I have no idea what's going on there, but that said, do you think that perhaps we are going to see more impact freshmen this year, just because we had pretty much five classes of guys last few years, now we're back down to four?
Yeah, you basically had two classes leave at once last year with the fifth and fourth year seniors, And then there's also just a lot of freshmen who have elected, because so many teams have transfer-heavy rosters and the veterans are likely to play ahead of them, who have gone elsewhere to either mid-major spots or maybe some of the lower-end high-major teams with more playing time to offer. So I definitely think we'll see a lot of freshmen, whether, you know, obviously outside of the top of the class, where you'll see guys who are ranked between 40 and 100 or so sort of be, you know, key pieces on their respective teams, because ultimately they chose to go somewhere where they're more likely to get minutes rather than being the 10th or 11th guy.
Yep, I think that that's very well said by you, because I know that VCU was actually able to land some top 150 freshmen as well, because there were some guys that would rather be able to get playing time right away rather than at being at a power conference team and perhaps be riding the bench as well. So I do think that that is going to be something to watch out for, and I do think that that could make some of these mid-majors a little bit more lethal, because, well, you're not going to get like some top 200 guy going down to insert your favorite very low major like the Metro Atlantic here or anything like that. We did notice that in the Atlantic 10, and I know that you do a great job of covering this conference with your work in Duquesne and so many others, that it felt like the Atlantic 10 had a really good just cycle with regards to the transfer portal, and additionally, it felt like they were able to land some really good freshmen that typically don't go to the Atlantic 10.
And it seems like VCU and Dayton have always been known for able to get, you know, impact freshmen, but the key part of transfer portal that worked for them is that they were able to retain, you know, a lot of their key players. I mean, Dayton being able to keep, you know, Javon Bennett and Letang, their sophomore big man, was huge. Laurie Chicago, GW, St. Louis also kept their starting big men. And we all know how big of a premium they could be in the portal. And then, yeah, there's, you know, a lot of guards from the high major ranks came down to the A-10 as well, especially when you look at a Tyra Ward, who could have easily stayed up and went down to VCU. He should be in. He's in a preseason all-conference guy. So the A-10 definitely, in their own way, you know, I would say benefited, especially more than any other mid-majors when it came to keeping talent. But, you know, it'll come down to whether or not they have enough teams who are in position for an at-large bid. That remains to be seen. But I do think there are probably 6 or 7 teams who can at least be top 100 caliber.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I think that this is going to be a good year for the Atlantic 10. Even a team like a Fordham. I don't think that Fordham's making the NCAA tournament or anything like that, but I thought that they did a nice job hiring around Mike Magpio. I look at that roster, and I'm feeling relatively bullish about them, and I'm always bullish about this podcast whenever we've got Tristan Freeman aboard. He does such great work over at Boston Brackets. He's joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, and our good friend Tristan does such a great job taking a look at this great game of college basketball, but he is based out there in Pittsburgh. He does a great job covering the ACC. So on the flip side, we do need to talk a little bit about the ACC. How lethal can Duke be this year? How much improved are some of those teams in the middle of the conference? And so much more. We'll pick up this conversation with Tristan on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beats and Family Podcast. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to be joined by Tristan Freeman. He does an amazing job over at Boston Brackets. I know that he's hard at work getting set for the upcoming season, much like myself. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at HoopsNut351. And Tristan, we left off talking about Van Langton and how lethal they might be. And you're based out there in the city of Pittsburgh. You do a great job covering the Panthers and so much more. So how about if we dive in on the ACC? How do you take a look at the landscape of this conference? Because we just had ACC Media Days, and just the more that I've been looking at these mid-tier teams, I know you turned me on to Virginia Tech with some of their international men of mystery, Nicholas Avdakis. Hopefully I said that correctly. I think I got that name wrong, but he is a guy that is going to be rock solid, the gentleman from Greece. I know that Miami is a team that I'm starting to feel a little bit more bullish on as well, and just the more that I look at this conference as a whole, I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree, the more I think this could be a really good year for them.
Yeah, I mean, it has to get better, you know, from the middle. And I think with the SEC and the Big 12 lose as much talent as they did, and the ACC quietly was able to keep a good amount of talent. Teams like Notre Dame, Syracuse, Georgia Tech were able to keep some of their all-conference level players, and that should help. SMU as well. I do think the conference is going to be due for a bounce back. Obviously, Duke and Louisville, preseason top 10 caliber teams, but they're going to need UNC to step up and be there with them. You know, Clemson and Wake Forest are two teams that have sort of, you know, rose to the top tier, but after losing so much talent, whether they can fight back. But I will say, outside of maybe, you know, three or four teams like DC and, you know, Cal and Stanford, I mean, even a team like Florida State, who was picked to finish 15th, went toe-to-toe with Alabama in an exhibition game a week ago, even they could be a surprise team to watch. So I do think there should be optimism with the ACC, but again, it's going to come down to how good the 4 through 10 is, especially in non-con play, because last year, as a whole, they all missed so many opportunities that sort of put them in a really tough spot once league play went. Compared to the SEC, who beat everyone and then was able to just beat up on each other to keep their numbers looking good.
Exactly, and the depth of the ACC has really been struggling. The teams like Boston College, Georgia Tech, even for a little bit of a lesser extent, a team like a Notre Dame, they need a little bit more there, and we've talked with you a lot of this offseason about some of these mid-tier teams in the ACC, but how about if we talk about one of the teams that we did see on full display on Tuesday in Duke? Cam Boozer was obviously really good with a 33 points, and just how good can this Duke team be? Because I don't think that there's any way that they exceed what they were able to do last season. Last season was a year to remember for them, even though it didn't end in a title. My goodness, I mean, the way that they were able to just continue to produce time and time again, that was really impressive to see. But that said, I look at what Cameron Boozer was able to do. I look at the way that they were able to bring back a guy like an Isaiah Evans. They've got really good chemistry out there in that backcourt, and I think that this is a Duke team that maybe they're not going to be quite as dominant as they were a season ago, but I think that there should be still full expectations of this team being able to make a run to a Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's not going to be at the Cooper Flag level or just being so dominant on two ways, but it was still a great performance by Boozer against a UCF team picked to finish towards the bottom in the Big 12, but still have some good players of their own and gave them a fight. I do think the key is going to be the backcourt because, you know, among those who didn't play as well, you know, Caleb Foster and Cade Boozer, the other five-star Boozer, they combined for 4-13 from the field, did have 9 assists together, but ultimately, if it wasn't for Boozer carrying the day offensively, Duke would have been in trouble for 40 minutes against UCF. So that is something to watch. We'll see what happens when Dame Saar, the 5-star international player, comes into a rotation. And then, you know, Isaiah Evans, you know, he can hit shots from anywhere, but he went 3-10 from deep. And we'll see how much of a green light he has for Duke. But I do think that he'll be a very key piece for them coming to the season if he can be more consistent.
Yep, and I do think that Duke has so much potential, and there's a lot of teams that are going to be so, so interesting for this upcoming season. And Tristan, I know you, much like myself, are doing an amazing job getting set for the upcoming season. And as you've been researching the last few weeks, this can be both to the positive and the negative, because as I do my research, there are some teams I feel a little bit higher on, like I've been talking up the ACC and the middle-tier teams like Syracuse, Virginia Tech. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about them. There are some teams I'm feeling lower on, obviously, Wofford with everything that happened here in the offseason, but just over the last few weeks, has there been a team or two that you've been identifying that maybe you're starting to have second thoughts about, whether that be upgrading them or downgrading them going into the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think looking at the Big 12, I think a team that I'm interested in is Arizona. And they're a team that, you know, they didn't have any preseason all-league guys, but there's a lot of hype with the freshman class led by Koa Pete and Brayton Berry. I'm interested in how the guard play is going to work out because, you know, Jaden Bradley as a lead guard, we'll see how that goes. And obviously they bring back Revis, but I think depth-wise, they're going to be one of the deepest teams in the country. And, you know, if Koa Pete in particular does become, you know, an all-conference star, maybe not necessarily to the hype of the top of the freshman class, but someone who could be a double-digit scorer and an impact defender in his own right, then I think Arizona could be a top 10 team and someone to compete for the Big 12 title.
And I don't know if I asked you this or not the last time we chatted, but I think that it is so interesting because you talked about the depth of the SEC, and I do think that the SEC has the deepest conference, but you talk about Arizona, and when I look at the Big 12, if you look at, we're going to call it the top six, you've got obviously who we just talked about in Arizona, Houston is going to be right there, Kansas is always rock solid, Iowa State, even though some people are a little bit wishy-washy about them, I still think that they're in for a nice year, Texas Tech, you go down the list, I actually think that the top 6 in the Big 12 might be better than the top 6 in the SEC, though obviously the fall-off with the teams like Colorado and company is quite a bit greater than that of the SEC.
Yeah, Big 12 depth is going to be something to watch, where there are a few teams who could be really, really bad, like Arizona State and UCF. And obviously, you know, the SEC had just two of those teams. But when you looked at, you know, teams 6 through 12, the SEC clearly was superior. It'll be interesting to see if teams like Kansas State and Cincy and even, you know, West Virginia, who's building again, can sort of bounce back and be in top 25. Because, yeah, I do think, you know, the Big 12, anytime you have Kansas as the projected sixth best team, then it should be a really, really deep Big 12, because no matter what, Kansas is still going to be good. And we'll see. And if their own freshman class can excel, then they're going to be back and hunt for title contention. So, you know, the SEC, I do think, should still be viewed as the top conference, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Big 12 takes that crown this year at all.
Yep, it's going to be a really fun year of college basketball. Tristan, you're doing an incredible job of getting set for it all. I know you're doing great work over there at Bus and Brackets, but additionally, I know you've been doing some work over at Sleepers Media. I know that you do some work with the newsletter over at the Field of 68 and so much more. So love to get people at home, know what's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you can follow me at Hoopsnut351 on Twitter/X, and also follow my main site, Bus and Brackets, for the final preseason content before we're covering games a couple weeks from now.
And Tristan, he does such an incredible job of being able to cover the sport of college basketball. Every single time he joins me, he lends incredible insights, and he did so once again today. So a big thanks to Tristan for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we'll fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by that 5-star review. And yes, indeed, I am with you guys every single day on this podcast. We are up to well over 2,150 straight days without a missed podcast. So I've got you guys all covered on that front. I have no fear there. And we are about a week and a half away from the start of the college basketball season with regards to games. And just like every season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. It doesn't matter how big, how small, how weird the game is, I'm going to get you guys all broken down there. So we've got a lot of fun upcoming for this college basketball season, and I'm glad to have you guys along for the ride. So appreciate you tuning in today, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.